Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Details at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the September 6th edition of Commodity Week. The United States Department of Agriculture is set to update the crop production and WASDE figures next week, and the farmers are ready to roll in the cornfields. We'll find out what it means today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Jerry Goodell. He's from Rice Dairy in Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists today include Merrill Crowley of Crowley Commodities out of Watseka, Illinois, Aaron Curtis from Midco in Bloomington, Illinois, and Dan Zwicker of CGV Enterprises from Mandeville, Louisiana. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, gentlemen, let's start with this question. What have you heard, if anything, about yields in your area? And I know it's very, very early. We'll start with you, Aaron Curtis.
Well, Todd, not a lot yet. There have been a few isolated reports of some harvest going on, mostly south of Bloomington, between Springfield and Bloomington. There's been some fields opened up for the most part, either some of the early corn that was planted really earlier, or some on some sandier soil that's just kind of dried up pretty quickly. But hearing some moistures in the mid-20s to upper 20s, even some low 30 stuff that's being taken out due to some premiums trying to take advantage of here in early September. But for the most part, still a little too early to see much on yields yet.
Are you expecting quick ship to come in next week?
I think in some areas there's been some corn that's been sold for some earlier premiums that'll encourage some combines to get running, but I think it's still going to be somewhat isolated.
Merrill Crowley?
There's not much going on around my area. There's been some over by Gibson City and some up by Colum. I haven't heard any yields or moistures yet. Best thing was over, I think, by Lafayette, and it was coming in better expected, over 200 bushel.
Well, we better turn to the southern part of the United States and what Dan Zwicker has been hearing from his vantage point in New Orleans.
We have a lot of facilities along the Ohio River Valley, and they've been going at it here for a week or so, and we just continue to hear best ever yields coming out of those areas, which is southern Indiana, southern Illinois, northern Kentucky areas. Those guys are, of course, were the ones that kind of caught all the rains. We had a lot of rain activity that went up through that Ohio River Valley, and they're reporting record yields.
Everybody started 3 weeks behind, of course. Dan, did this surprise them and you and the rest of the crew along the river that these corn numbers would be so good?
We have crop surveys, so we've been out walking the fields and doing some measurements, and the yields were at that point in time coming in awful strong, so it doesn't shock us that the yields are coming in real good. Each of our locations kind of get together with a group of their customers and kind of go out and have crop tours to kind of see what one would expect, at least in our area. And that's what the early yield reports were reporting.
September corn this week had a top at $5.04.5, a bottom at $4.83.5. The settlement price there was down 3.5 cents that Friday to Friday at $4.91.5 for the September. December futures at $4.68.25. Settlement price down 13.75 cents. Merrill, as we head into next week's crop production report, will USDA change the average national yield? And will they change acreage at all? National average yield at 154.4 bushels to the acre.
I would be surprised if they changed the acreage. It's kind of been a debate as to whether or not they're going to change the yield. My thoughts is they won't have a lot more information to change the yields. Yes, they do have some harvesting going on down south that would kick the bushels per acre up, that they would be actual yield. But with a 4% maturity across the nation, I wouldn't look for a whole lot more information for the corn.
Aaron?
Yeah, I'd agree. I don't think anticipating a lot of changes. I think we'll wait until October to see much in terms of acreage changes at that point. Yield, I know some trades kind of thinking somewhat a little less than what the markets or what the USDA's told us. I know the average guesses are a touch less than that. 154.5, but I guess I wouldn't expect a lot of change. Be minimal if there is any.
Dan, I want to change that question just a little bit for you. What do you think carryout for 2013-2014, the trade is currently trading? Are they at a 1.7, a 1.8? What kind of carryout?
Well, if you talk to the commercial grain trade, of course, they're hoping that we have a lot of inventory around. But I think for the most part, when you take a look at these private estimates from Stone and Informa Economics and other modeling, they're all thinking that the carryout is in that 1.8 to 2 billion bushel range. They kind of feel that the yield is kind of in the neighborhood of what both those companies came out with, whether it's 156 or maybe 158. So they're still fairly persistent in thinking that they got a 14 billion bushel crop, or the at least a 13.8 anyway, to work with for the coming year. And USDA's demand numbers look awful sloppy, at least at this point, on the export front.
All right. So is it in your mind that producers have more corn in every field across the Midwest, or are there just areas that are making up the prospects here? And I guess I should ask whether you're at a 1.8 or not, or a 2 billion, or where are you on carryout?
Well, you really don't know where you're at on carryout until you kind of get a production number in. But if we're, I mean, I think the 1,200 export number is very sloppy when you take into account world inventory that's available in the Black Sea and South America. USDA could shave a couple hundred million off of that pretty quick. So, unless the crop, begins to really slip back toward this 5.5 area, 5.4, it's going to be tough, I think, to get a balance sheet loose enough at the moment to really spark a meaningful rally in corn. And I guess, that's in the eye of the beholder, what a meaningful rally is at this point in time. I would not rule out a run in December corn futures up into the 520s. I think that's possible. That could be stirred up by harvest delays or anything, or maybe new business weather problems in South America could stir that up, and maybe if beans take off to the sky, that could pull corn with it a little bit. So, corn's going to struggle until the trade proves, or until it's proven that the balance sheet is much tighter than, a 1.6 or a 1.8 billion bushel carryout.
Aaron, is the cash market going to have to do more heavy lifting in this prospects than the futures market?
Yeah, I think there's some merit to that. I think obviously pipelines are somewhat empty based on historical standards. Farmers seem somewhat reluctant to sell much fall corn at this point. I mean, if you ask most elevator managers, they'll tell you that they have the least amount of corn bought than they've had in a long time, somewhere in that 5 to 10% range, which was pretty light going into harvest compared to average. So that leaves the more of the burden on the cash market to try to encourage some movement either through basis or spread. So I think that's going to keep those markets somewhat volatile here going forward.
Will they be pretty strong longer because producers are more likely to fill their own bins first and lock those up?
Yeah, I think, you know, bins are empty for the most part. So I think you're going to see, you know, if there's some early premium still around when the harvest gets going, I think you're going to see the elevator being used at that point and then go to the bins at that point and then come back to the elevator, assuming that yields are good enough to need both. And at this point, I think we're still going to see some pretty good yield. So I think everybody should be able to participate this fall.
Mm-hmm. What are you telling producers at this time that they ought to do with the crop? Are they going to store it or sell it?
You could probably store it in your own facility, but I would try to take advantage of any early premiums there are. Currently, there's some pretty decent fall delivery basis levels that a guy could take advantage of. And then maybe look to sell it out into July if you have your own storage and pick up, I don't know, 25 cents in carry. I just think somewhere in this line, and maybe it will take a month because farmers will fill their own elevators, I mean their own facilities. If you're going to have a 13.5 to 14 billion bushel crop, something's got to move because these elevators will fill up quickly, and it's got to move somehow.
Meaning what?
There's only so much storage, and we're talking about the biggest crop in history. And
meaning lower prices?
I would think either the DP is going to have to really start opening up, and I wouldn't want to take advantage of that as a farmer. Or basis may have to tighten, but it's hard to believe if you're going to have that much corn.
All right. So I've got to ask, across the table here, are you friendly, neutral, bearish, bullish the corn market? And Dan, we'll start with you.
Well, I think it's kind of hard to be bullish, but I think I guess I'd want to put my hat more in a friendly category at this point. I think there's room for a rally sometime in here between now and a real active harvest. But as I say that, September is a very strong down month all the way into the first 10 days or so of October. So it's kind of like swimming uphill or swimming upstream. It's going to be very difficult to get something going. But I do think the trade may be leaning on the short side, just a little too heavy given what we know right now. And the crop is still deteriorating as far as I'm concerned. I think we will see another drop in crop rating levels here on Monday. Whether or not it stirs up any interest or not, we'll just have to kind of wait and see.
Yeah, I'm going to go with neutral. I think we're going to trade sideways here for a while until we have a little bit better feel of how harvest is going to go. I mean, I agree with Dan that, you know, seasonals do point down here till the end of the month, but you also wonder with traditional funds or the funds that can kind of go either long or short are still pretty heavily short. So who's going to be the one that steps up and kind of pushes this market to the lower side here as we move forward? So I think that's going to continue to keep a little bit of support underneath the market. But I would say just kind of range bound, which is what we've done here in the last month or so.
I'm preparing for basically lower prices, in the fact that I think that, yes, there's going to be enough corn crop to push prices lower. I'm cautiously optimistic on how much maybe the beans could pull this price up.
September beans, speaking of them, 14.67 and three quarters, the top on the week, the bottom at 13.8 and a quarter. That was an outside up week, by the way. September contract settled at $14.37, up 13 cents. November at 13.67 and three quarters, were up a dime and a quarter. And Dan's Wicker, they did not fill the gap to the downside this week, though they tried at some point. What do you think?
Well, they got close, and then they reversed out of it, which is still positive, at least from a technical perspective. Now I'm beginning to kind of view this congestion area on top of the gap as maybe use the midpoint of that congestion area and swing that off of the 1162 low, and then you can maybe read these beans a little higher. But, yeah, from a chart perspective, You can read the beans, you know, maybe for one more run to the upside to new highs for the year, maybe take on the 15-something area. That seems awful optimistic going into harvest, but I think it's we all know that a lot of these beans need some good rain activity here in the next 10 days or so, or otherwise probably that this crop could fall off quite sharply. And then of course we'll have to see what happens in South America. La Nina is in full force, so we could begin to see, you know, get into some dry weather worries in South America, and that could fuel the soybeans all the more at this point.
Well, from actually listening to Dan talk from time to time, I've learned to kind of look at this in a step-by-step procedure. 1350 held us and held us well this week. With a lack of moisture, I would look for them to retest that $14 area, then see if they can get up to 14.5. If they can break that, then I think $15 is in the cards.
Yeah, I think $14, for my opinion anyway, is still going to be some tough resistance on the upside. We can't lose sight of what the USDA is going to remind us on Thursday, and that's the soybean world-ending stocks are north of 70 million metric tons, which doesn't argue for a lot of upside from here.
That's Aaron Curtis. He's with Midco. Joins us here on Commodity Week for the September 6th edition. On the phone line with us is Dan Zwicker of CGP and Merrill Crowley of Crowley Commodities. Back in 2 weeks, or in 2 minutes, with Jerry Goodell.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. This last week in Illinois was dry once again. The only areas to receive rain were in far southern Illinois and the Chicago area, and those rains were not heavy or widespread. Temperatures were moderate after the cold front moved through the state on Monday. The U.S. Drought Monitor has increased the area in moderate drought across central Illinois and now covers 39% of the state. This was after Illinois came off its third driest August on record with 1.4 inches of rain, 2.2 inches below average. The National Weather Service forecast indicates more hot weather is coming our way. Daytime highs on Saturday will be in the upper 80s and low 90s across the state. Highs on Sunday will range from the upper 70s in the northeast part of the state into the 80s and 90s elsewhere. The rest of the week is expected to have highs in the upper 80s across the northern half of the state and in the low 90s across the southern half. We may see some relief by Thursday or Friday as another cold front moves through the state. There's a small 20% chance of rain on Saturday and Sunday, then the next chance of rain is on Wednesday and Thursday. The 6 to 10 day and 8 to 14 day forecasts show a continuation of the hotter and drier than average conditions across the state. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
This is the September 6th edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists include Aaron Curtis, Merrill Crowley, and Dan Zwicker. On the phone line, the special guest today, Jerry Goodell. He's at Rice Dairy in Chicago, Illinois. Thanks for taking the time with us, Jerry. I want you to go through what your feelings on the corn and the bean market are to begin with, please.
All right. Well, thanks for having me as always, Todd. Just to give people a little clarity of what I do, I'm the feed analyst here, feed grain analyst here at one of the better dairy IBs here in the U.S., so I'm definitely not a dairy specialist. I've been involved in the grain and soybean markets in Chicago since the 1980s. Your discussion today really kind of highlighted the differences we're really having here between the corn and soybean markets. Corn market, everybody's kind of staring out the window here and looking at this carryover stock. It depends if it's 1.8 or it's 1.9, so it could be 1.5. Even if we do have a setback in some of these yields on this next USDA report, And the trade at this point, I think the average from Reuters today was just a smidgen under or around 154. The USDA was 154.5 last time around. Some of the private estimates ended up here 157, 158 here the last couple of days. But in general, if we went down to 150, we still have plenty of corn. The carryover definitely coming from an extremely tight carryover situation here at 700, 720, 730, whatever it is, type situation. But the corn market side of things on a longer-term basis definitely doesn't have a lot of bounce. No $7 corn is on the horizon here at this point. The biggest thing is what does this lower prices do for the world prices, excuse me, for our world competitors these days? That's Brazil, Ukraine, those areas. Right now, Ukraine's got a pretty good crop coming. Brazil had a very good crop last year, so they're going to be out there beating the drum on moving some of their stuff between now and spring. We've had, though, surprisingly, a very strong export pace as the Chinese have been a huge buyer here. We're actually on a very good pace, and maybe even better than the 1.2 that the USDA is projecting right now on a seasonal basis. But the biggest thing is will there be a lot of other buyers around the world? Switching over to the soybean side of things, completely different situation here. Definitely tight carry on that one also because of last year's trough. Situation, though, on what our U.S. production this year is going to turn out to be is a lot more up in the air. The lateness of this year's crop being planted, really the surprising kind of turn of events here in weather since we came into the season last spring worried about a drought impacting this on a nationwide basis. Instead, we got extremely above normal moisture and cool temperatures, and we had some of the latest plantings of beans we've had in the U.S. in quite some time. By late June, even the USDA had to do a resurvey here last month and found that there was 550,000 acres less planted than they thought. And now we've had dryness really started in Iowa, out in western Iowa, actually where that's where I came up, where I grew up as a kid, out west of Fort Dodge, and that dryness has moved all the way back into Illinois. And that's, over the last month at least, is not the timing you want for yields on soybeans. It's a situation where we're looking at soybean yields that really at this point is really kind of a crapshoot. I'm not sure that anybody's got a great knowledge of how a yield's going to be. The assumption right now is that the dryness we've had should make smaller-sized beans. Last year, we had some late rains, and the USDA didn't pick that up in September, but they made a huge change by the time we got to our final number there, and they had the size of the beans kind of compensate for the smaller pods from here. The situation on soybeans, yes, we're going to have competition from South America. We've all heard about the expanded areas down there on expanded plantings. I guess, as I think Dan mentioned here, that weather, though, is a highly important factor for South America, and being aware of what's going on in the Pacific Ocean is going to be a huge factor there as to what, because right now there's a pretty good assumption that they're going to have, 85 to 90 million metric ton crop in Brazil and 30 million in Argentina. It's always hard to see if we're going to have that. And it all depends on how our friends in Beijing are going to enjoy their purchases. Right now, there's been a lot of cautiousness about the expectations for the 2013-14 imports. But surprisingly enough, once all said and done, the Chinese purchases for this year are all in the winters. They bought beans all the way along to this thing, scaled down in, and their price structure is looking pretty good, so they're not going to get run out of the business because they bought too high on their own internal market. And so we'll have to see what their demand does on a longer-term basis. But right now, at least, soybeans, I think, somebody says, is kind of driving the bus, and they'll really kind of determine what our prices in the short term might be here as we go through next week and the week after.
Jerry, if we look at the supply-demand on corn just kind of line-by-line basis and just focus a little bit on feed and residual, I mean, if we get into this era now where we can produce more bushels and more comfortable ending stocks, where do you see that line in the balance sheet going from here, maybe over the next 3 to 5 years? Can we continue to see some recovery there, or is it going to be longer term than we think?
I assume you're talking about the corn feed and residual, right?
Right.
Well, the USDA is the number 55.1 million, at this point at least, has everybody looking out the door here trying to figure out if that's on track to somewhat similar to the export number. We haven't, it definitely is a part of the general price structure. Hopefully, in some ways, for the livestock industry, they'd love to have a little cheaper meal out here and they could really start to expand the corn side of things. I think everybody kind of feels like that we're going to have a nothing approaching cash prices that of $7 or even at this point $6 cash in the cost structure. I think actually there is a chance that we could see some expansion. I'm not sure we're going to be over a 5-year period. We might see us up to six billion kind of level. I really do think, though, that in the coming year, we've got a real balance between the fact that I think the chickens and the pork guys are going to expand. They're really looking at the cattle eyes kind of stuck over here, not being able to expand their production, so that price is level and beef's going to stay up there so they can end up being competitive underneath that. And I think that at least there's a decent shot for the 5 billion number, and maybe even higher than that. I think the... But a lot of the things here on corn, it's just hard to point anything higher in ethanol, and that even might be a tad high. Exports, I think, you know, like everybody, it's kind of about as high as we can look at right now until we see what happens in South America. I'm kind of cautious that the second crop corn production in Brazil for next year for the 13-14 or 14-15 competition is not going to be what... It has been here recently. It's really hard to get excited about planting something that you're going to cost you $2 to ship it from Mato Grosso to the when you got a $5 item. There's not a lot of room for profitability there. I know that they look at their own currencies, but the people that they're providing that service are looking at that situation that doesn't offer them a lot of profit opportunities themselves.
Jerry, thank you so much for taking the time with us today. We do appreciate that, okay? Jerry,
thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. Jerry Goodell is with Rice Dairy out of Chicago, Illinois. Time for a final word from our panelist in studio. We'll start with you, Aaron Curtis.
Well, as you get ready to head off to the field, please remember to be safe and have a very bountiful harvest, we hope.
And Merrill Crowley?
With the past 3 years of rallies late in the year, it's easy to get caught up in the dry weather scenario. You need to be cautious because this corn could definitely be a surprise. Get some protection on.
And Dan Zwicker.
Other than be safe, got a lot of time to harvest this crop. I know everybody likes to get in a big hurry, but I think the key thing here at this point in time is be safe.
Thanks to our panelists, including Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises. He's from Mandeville, Louisiana. Merrill Crowley out of Crowley Commodities in Watseka, Illinois. And Aaron Curtis of Midco in Bloomington, Illinois. Remember, you can listen to us online if you'd like anytime at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You have a great and a really safe week.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.